Well, what a day we've come to today. It's a really exciting day, although it seems like an odd day. We've been planning for a while that we're going to launch this Centre Forward appeal today, and yet we get the announcement yesterday about lockdown for the next month, which is the period really that we're fundraising for. And I thought, well, you know, a lot of us are worried about lockdown, and that is right. And there's been so much bad news. But as I was thinking about this, well, actually, this is a good day to be thinking about the Centre Forward project, because this is a piece of good news in the midst of a whole bunch of bad news. And it really is good news. The fact that we're holding today is because of the Lord's graciousness in so many ways over the last 10 years. We now have all the planning permissions in. We have all the designs done. We have the costings fixed. We decided what's going to go in the hall. And along this journey of 10 years, we have seen how the Lord has provided at each stage along the journey. Time and again, we've hit some big challenges, and time and again, we have seen him provide. And in particular, actually, one of the strange things is that time and again, we've seen that the delays have actually helped us ultimately. In particular, one of the big challenges we face is cash flow. And actually, the delay allows us to allow more money to come in before we head into the project. And then what is really exciting is the biggest segment of that beautiful pie chart from Pete, which was the £1 million that has already been raised by us giving money to the project. Isn't that staggering? Isn't that an amazing thought? And it means that now we really are, as we're calling it, we come and we head into the home straight. That moment in the race when finally you can see the end is in sight. You can see the tape going across, although they don't have that anymore. It's very boring. But, you know, when they broke the tape, you can see the tape at the end. But we also know that that means that we've got one final effort to push through. And that's what today is about. Today is about that final effort to raise that £795,000. And even as I say that, I realise that many of you have given way above what is usual in order to raise that £1 million. The challenge for us today is how can we now step up and get that last amount in? And I want us to think about two things, why we would give, and then secondly, how we would give. So let's think about why we would give. Well, the first reason, I think, is because it gives us an opportunity to participate in God's mission, to be part of his work. I was very struck when I did a sermon recently on the parable of the sower in Luke 8, that at the beginning of the reading, it had a sort of throwaway line, which for me is always often some of the most exciting lines in the Bible. And it says this. It talks about a series of women that Jesus had sort of saved. And it says, Mary, Joanna, the wife of Chusa, the manager of Herod's household, Susanna, and many others it talks about. And then it says this, these women were helping to support Jesus and the disciples out of their own means. And that hit me like a train. I thought, I will meet these women in glory, and I will be able to say, because of what you did, Jesus didn't have to carry on with his carpentry. The disciples didn't have to carry on with their fishing. They were able to go around proclaiming the good news. They participated in Jesus' work. Isn't that a thought? And that is our opportunity today to participate in what Jesus is going to do and is doing here in Wallington. I think back to those who built this church. And I think, what were their plans to do with it? What plans did they have? Because I know we've got plans for Centre Forward. But here's what I've been struck by, is that God's plans for it are so much more impressive. They would have had all sorts of ideas. I don't know what they would have done. But harvest festivals and things like that. They would never have dreamt of rainbow parties, of children's carol services, of holiday clubs, of Easter egg hunts. They'd have never dreamt of a worship club. They'd have never dreamt of the things that went on in the hall because of the worship that went on in the building that they paid for. They would never have thought of the lunch clubs or the homemakers or the TGIs or the toddlers or the uniformed or any of that. God's plans were bigger than theirs. But as we think about the opportunity here to participate in God's mission, or choose not to, but as we have the opportunity to participate in God's mission, it gets to the heart of why we give, which is the second thing I want us to think about. Faith. Giving like this takes faith. Giving our spare change takes no faith, really. Giving when it hurts takes faith. But what is faith? Well, in Hebrews 1, verse 1, it tells us faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. Sure and certain of what we hope for, of what we do not see. If you like, faith is this. Faith is living the truth we cannot see. It's very easy to say that we believe in the truth, in God. We believe in eternal life. We believe in a judgment day. We believe that salvation is found in Jesus alone. It takes faith to put money where our beliefs are. So giving to Center Forward takes an act of faith. Faith that what you and I believe is true. If we believe that Jesus' death, resurrection, and return are the most important truths that people need to hear, and if we call ourselves a Christian, we say that is true, then of course we will give money to a new hall that will enable that by God's grace. Giving to Center Forward is a sign that we believe that these truths that we so strongly hold, that they are true, that we really believe that they're true. We believe it so much that we're willing to give what is perhaps one of the most precious things to us, our money. Because our money buys us pleasure and it buys us security and it buys us all of those things. To give it up can only be because we believe in something more. And that will lead to two impacts, I think. A witness to others and a witness to ourselves. A witness to others. I was struck by this when I was thinking about this. As people see the new build, I hope, my prayer is that they will wonder, where did the money come from that? I hope that in a conversation you'll be able to say, well, actually, 1.9 million of the pounds came from the members of St. Patrick's. And that will raise the question, well, why would they give that amount of money to a new hall? That isn't how Sainsbury's operate. Sainsbury's sort of get profits from what they sell us. Why would they give freely of money they could have spent on themselves? And the answer will be, because that is how much Jesus means to them. What a witness to Wallington. That Center Forward will be one part of our showing people how precious Jesus is to us. That this would point to Jesus just by its existence. And it would point to Jesus not when it's built, but from when the funding began. The missional focus of Center Forward doesn't start when the doors open, but when our wallets and purses open. Because it proclaims how important Jesus is to us. And that leads to the second point, that it's a witness to ourselves. Every time we give up on some earthly pleasure, some new car, holiday, extension, meal out, new phone contract, whatever it is, every time we give up on some earthly pleasure because we have used that money for God's work, which is a wonderful reassurance to us that our faith is not just words, it is from the heart. Because here's the point. Until Jesus is Lord of our bank accounts, he isn't really Lord of our hearts. But when he is Lord of our bank accounts, that's a sign that he is Lord of our hearts. So I think there are good reasons to give. But to think about how we're going to give, and I don't mean, you know, standing orders. You'll find that from the booklet later. I mean, with what heart do we give? Let's turn to a reading from 1 Chronicles chapter 29. And Sue's going to come and read that to us.
So the reading is taken from 1 Chronicles, chapter 29, verses 10 to 20. David praised the Lord in the presence of the whole assembly, saying, "Praise be to you, Lord, the God of our father Israel, from everlasting to everlasting. Yours, Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the majesty and the splendor, for everything in heaven and earth is yours. Yours, Lord, is the kingdom. You are exalted as head over all. Wealth and honor come from you. You are the ruler of all things. In your hands are strength and power to exalt and give strength to all. Now, our God, we give you thanks and praise your glorious name. But who am I, and who are my people, that we should be able to give as generously as this? Everything comes from you, and we have given you only what comes from your hand. We are foreigners and strangers in your sight, as were all our ancestors. Our days on earth are like a shadow, without hope. Lord our God, all this abundance that we have provided for building you a temple for your holy name comes from your hand, and all of it belongs to you. I know, my God, that you test the heart and are pleased with integrity. All these things I have given willingly and with honest intent. And now I have seen with joy how willingly your people who are here have given to you. Lord, the God of our fathers Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, keep these desires and thoughts in the hearts of your people forever, and keep their hearts loyal to you. And give my son Solomon the wholehearted devotion to keep your commands, statutes, and decrees, and to do everything to build the palatial structure for which I have provided." Then David said to the whole assembly, "Praise the Lord your God." So they all praised the Lord, the God of their fathers. They bowed down, prostrating themselves before the Lord and the King. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thank you very much, Sue. When we look at this question of how do we give, it's because I believe that this is a wonderful opportunity for us to grow as a church and grow as believers. That's been actually my conviction from the beginning of Centre Forward. The very financial challenge will be a great blessing to us. So what do we see from how we can give well? Well, firstly, we see that the people of God in this context, which is different from ours, they were building the temple. We're not building a temple, but we are building for God's glory. They, first of all, gave worshipfully. Did you look at verses 10 to 13? They're the most amazing psalm of praise. I'm amazed I read this. Why hasn't anyone done a modern chorus based around this song? Because it's so glorious, isn't it? Praise be to you, Lord, the God of our father Israel, from everlasting to everlasting. Yours, Lord, is the greatness and the power, the glory, the majesty, the splendor, for everything in heaven, that's the universe, and on earth is yours. Yours, Lord, is the kingdom you rule. Oh, what a wonderful wealth and honor come from you. And it reminds us that giving is in the context of wonder at our almighty living Savior God. So, if you like, giving is a response to worship. But it's not just a response to worship. As we see here, it is also worship itself. This is what Paul writes in his long thank you letter to the Philippian church. And he writes this in verse 18 about the money they have given him so that he can do the work of God. "I have received full payment," chapter 4, verse 18 of Philippians, "and have more than enough. I am amply supplied now that I've received from Epaphroditus the gifts you sent. They are a fragrant offering, an acceptable sacrifice, pleasing to God." Our money, when we give it for God's work, is worship. When you write that standing order, and the ones and zeros go between your bank account and a church bank account, a smell comes up. It is a fragrant offering to the Lord. Isn't that a thought? Because what is worship? Well, worship is love expressed. And love is expressed most clearly when it costs us, when it hurts. Like the woman who poured the perfume over Jesus' feet in Luke 7. And people said, well, that was a week's wages. What a waste. And she didn't think so, because it was motivated by love. And Jesus didn't think so. Giving money is saying, you matter more to me than the things I would otherwise spend the money on. So can I encourage you, as you're thinking about how much to give, and this is so counterintuitive, write down the things you would otherwise have spent that money on. Write them down. And then say to the Lord, this is how much I love you. And from that piece of paper, an aroma will go up to the Lord. So we give worshipfully. We also give humbly. Look at verse 14. Who am I and who are my people that we should be able to give as generously as this? Everything comes from you, O Lord, and we have given you only what comes from your hand. David is amazed at the response of the nation. He says, we've given generously. And as a church, we have been generous. Even more so when we get to the 1.795 million, which will come from donations. But look at what he says. Everything comes from you, and we have given you only what comes from your hand. In fact, he's already said that in the worship psalm. He's just taken the worship and said, what I sang earlier, I actually also mean. Have you ever thought about it on a Sunday? The task in Monday to Saturday is to take what we sang on Sunday and to mean it Monday to Saturday. One of the biggest lies in our world is that the money in my bank account is mine, that I earned it. David isn't fooled by that lie. He says, everything I have is yours, Lord. So the question today really is, will we be humble? Will we be good managers of God's money? If it's all his, will we handle it well? Someone once said, quite wisely, when we think about how much we should give to God's work, it's not really a question of how much of my money I can afford to give. It's how much of God's money I dare keep. But actually, at a level, that is quite helpful, but I think it's too negative. Because when Jesus tells the parable of the talents, the three stewards, the three managers that a master gave money to, and one of the managers didn't do anything with the money, but the other two invested it wisely and produced more money for their master, two things happen. The master says, well done, good and faithful servant. And then the master rewards them. They receive a reward which would have made the cost of their faithfulness seem pathetic. It's a thought, isn't it? I'm not saying that if you give £10,000 to Centre Forward that the Lord's going to give you £100,000 a day, but I am saying this. When we are in glory, we will see that the rewards we have received by faithfully managing our money have far outstripped it. I don't know what those rewards will be. They might be peace in our hearts now. They might be joy unbounded. They might be deep contentment. They might be intimacy with the Lord. And in glory, they will be material wealth. Not now, but in glory. So we give humbly. But we also give confidently. Look at verse 15, and you're going to think, David, what are you on about here? This is madness. He says, we are foreigners and strangers in your sight, O Lord, as were all our ancestors. Our days on earth are like a shadow without hope. That doesn't sound very good grounds for giving confidently, does it? Our days are like a shadow. They're gone. They're insubstantial. And that is true, isn't it? We think 70 years is a long time, 90 years if we're Sean Connery, but actually it's gone in a moment. I look back over my 47 years, I think that's right, I'm at 48 now. Feels so short. Our days are gone. We are fragile. So why should that give us confidence? Well, I want two reasons. One is because it reminds us where our true confidence lies. It doesn't lie on our own strength and power, which is so weak, it's like sand running through fingers. We place our confidence in the living God, who is a rock and an anchor. David knew he could give extravagantly. The people knew they could give extravagantly because they knew the Lord would provide abundantly, because he had. But also it's confidence that our lives will matter. If we just live for this world, it is just dust and ashes that is blown away. But if we work for what is eternal, our lives have weight. They have meaning. So why did they give? Because they knew that the security of their future rested not in their wealth, but in the goodness of the Lord and his faithfulness to them. I think about the church family, our church family in the 1930s. I want you to imagine this service in the 1930s. It had been in the hut, I think, over there. And they'd have been planning it. And somebody had said, right, it's going to cost a lot of money. And somebody would say, do you not realize we're in the middle of the Great Depression? COVID is awful. And the financial consequences will be great. But they are nothing compared to the stock market crash of 1929 and the Great Depression that followed. And then they say, and there's such international instability because of it. They had no idea the Second World War was coming. But they gave. And in doing so, they showed the world where their confidence lay. Imagine the impact. Sometimes I wonder, why, Lord, has it taken so long for this project? Not so long, actually. 10 years, about normal for a church project. But it feels like a long time. And now we come to the final funding appeal, and we're in the middle of COVID, and we're in lockdown. And you might think, oh, well, why does God do that? Why has God meant that the funding appeal happens at just the worst time? I wonder if this is the answer. Because the witness of it will be far, far greater. Have you thought about that? We can look at this building and say, our forebears, well, they had such a vision of God's mission. They had such a vision of how precious Jesus is, that in the middle of the worst possible time to have a building funding appeal, they have one. Is that what God is doing here? Is that what he's saying to us? Is he saying that here is our opportunity to show the world that our confidence rests not in our financial resources, but in the living God? There is no safer thing to do with the money God has given us than to use it for his work. The next verse in that Philippians book, you know, it talks about our offering being a fragrant offering to the Lord, a smelly offering in a good way. He goes on to say, they are a fragrant offering, an acceptable sacrifice pleasing to God, and my God will meet all your needs according to the riches of his glory in Christ Jesus. There'll be many good reasons why we might say, I can't give as much as I'd want. One is not uncertainty about the future. Because our confidence in the future rests not in financial resources, but in the Lord's faithfulness. And finally and quickly, they gave wholeheartedly in verse 17. I love this. I know, my God, that you test the heart and are pleased with integrity. All these things I have given willingly and with honest intent. And now I have seen with joy how willingly your people who are here have given to you. I hope on the day that Centre Forward is opened, that is the prayer that Jesus will pray over it. Now I have seen with joy how willingly your people who are here have given to you, Father. We're told the Lord loves a cheerful giver. And the Lord calls us to cheerful giving. Like that woman who broke the jar of ointment over Jesus' feet, weeping, but then showing her heart, that we would open our hearts up to the Lord and give cheerfully. That's why I don't want you to give if you don't want to give. Please don't. But if, when you look at the Lord, your heart stirs you to give, don't let social awkwardness or worry about what other people will think stop you. Express your heart to the Lord. So I encourage you to give to this project because I believe it's a way of participating in God's mission. I believe it's a great opportunity to show witness to the Word. And also I believe that in the process of giving, the Lord will change us and sort of refashion us, will turn our hearts more to Him. And then I also believe that the Lord Jesus will be glorified by how we make sacrifices because of our love for Him. So you're going to find out lots more about how you can give. But I pray that as you think about it, that you will be so filled with love for the Lord, so filled with excitement at what He does and what He can do and what He means, and so filled with joy at the opportunity to participate in it. Let's pray. Father, this is a massive project, and I thank you for how your hand has guided over the years. I thank you for the amazing provision of different people. I'm going to name these, going to be horribly embarrassed by this, but Lord, it was a miraculous provision of providing Pete to lead this project. That's not to say that he's great, but to say that you're great in giving him those gifts and bringing him here at this time. Lord, I thank you for the huge generosity of God's people here to give that more than £1 million. I thank you for the miracle of the diocese buying us our house so that we could use the money from 47 Park Hill Road. I thank you for those people who gave the money for 47 Park Hill Road, that we can use it for this project. I thank you for your gracious provision in so many ways. And Lord, please now stir hearts. Lord, it's going to take a miracle from you. And that is what we ask for. Not demand it, but we humbly come to you because we know that you abundantly provide. And we long to use this building in your strength for your mission and purposes. We long for it to be a symbol of how precious you... Well, I can't even be... The first start of a symbol of how precious you are to us. And Lord, I pray that you would free us from our slavery to money. I pray that you would silence Satan as he tries to influence our thinking, but instead we would fix our eyes on the Lord Jesus. Amen.